I'd like to record attendance be good, but I can, I cannot see everyone.
I can help you, if you want to call the name. Anthony? Anthony is not here yet.
Correct.
Denise is here. Dina is here. Janita is absent.
Absent.
Sue?
Absent.
Kennedy?
Kennedy is here. Kennedy, can you stay here?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, I could barely hear you. I'm here.
Thank you.
I'll talk louder.
Okay.
Herb is here.
Here.
Mason is not here yet. Andrew?
Here.
Thank you. And our Lawndale representative?
Here.
Thank you.
Albert.
Or Albert, you go by Albert. Thank you.
Thank you.
The agenda, we have opening items, after recording the attendance, call meeting to order at 5:07, and approval of the agenda. May I entertain a motion to approve the agenda? I'm going to approve the agenda.
A second, Dina.
Dina? We go through the voting list, let me go back to it. Denise?
Aye.
Dina?
Aye.
I will say aye for myself. Kennedy?
Aye.
Herb?
Aye.
Mason, Mason is not here yet. Andrew?
Aye.
Albert, do you also think that?
Aye.
Albert, thank you. Okay. Opener for, now we will turn our attention to Parag for opening.
In light of the fact that we have more people remote and we have the sort of mixed attendance, I think we can go ahead and skip the opener for today, okay, and give a little bit more time for asking questions.
There are none.
Okay.
Today, no presentations from the floor.
Okay. So discussion items and updates, financial review and 24-25 revised budget. Dorothy and Jair?
Yes. Hold on. Let me share my screen. All right. So I will cover last year what we ended up submitting, and then also go over the changes made to this fiscal year, which we're asking you to approve as the new budget later on the agenda. So high level, the last time you saw the financials in June, this was the operating incomes we were expecting, and this is what we ended up reporting in August to the authorizers. It's this report called the unaudited actuals, and what makes them official is when it goes through the audit. And if the auditors decide to make any changes, that's why the numbers would change. So here's just a look at Lawndale. So we started with this operating loss, and this is how we get to a slightly higher operating loss. We did have savings, you know, in these specific buckets like comp and benefits, state revenue. About half of this is because of the facilities grant. And then at all the schools, you'll see higher amounts for state revenue because the lottery amount was, the lottery rate was a lot better than what we were expecting. I don't know if there are specific questions on any of these buckets, but this big increase in services and other expenses, it's just because of higher spending. We had higher expenses in field trips, some prior year expenses, substitutes, and technology services. And that's just, I don't know if there are questions specific to Lawndale. So the middle school at Gardena, very similar of this bump in state revenue, where about a third of it's from lottery, and then they had all these other little grants that added up to this extra money. This local revenue, most of this is kind of one time. It was the insurance claim for the water damage. And then for them, they had additional expenses in books and supplies, mainly in software and food. And then in comp and benefits, most of this higher spending was just higher expenses in classified staff. But we were able to get, you know, close to break even. For Inglewood, they had a lot of savings in expenses, lower expenses here in services and other, mainly legal fees and instructional consultants. They had lower expenses in classified salaries, same in their software, instructional materials, the additional revenue I've already mentioned. And then this big drop here, this ESSER 3, this isn't a loss in revenue or an increased expense. We are actually deferring this money to this fiscal year. So you'll see the same bar in Inglewood's chart, but going the other way where they have additional income. For the high school in Gardena, it's similar to Inglewood, where in general there's just lower spending. And you know, here it was, you know, computers, furniture, instructional materials, and in services and other, it's in security, tech services, legal fees. They had some savings in comp and benefits. It was kind of evenly spread out between certificated and classified. And so they do look like they have this really high operating income, but on this next slide, just to remind everybody, their rent that they actually pay is close to $800,000. We only recognize about $500,000 though, because of this lease accounting we have to follow. So they end up looking more positive by almost $300,000. So if you look at this $500,000, it's if we had to, you know, match the expense to what they're actually paying, it would be about $300,000 lower. Any questions on that before I switch to a different view of the unaudited actuals reports?
Maybe, yeah, question. We talked a lot about a number of expenses that just, we sort of flew over the expenses, but in a lot of cases, I just wonder, is there, particularly to the extent that there's like books and supplies and so on, is there, you know, components of the program that are not, that were just cheaper or that were left out, or what, you know, on the ground, what does that look like?
I can jump in for this, Dorothy. We actually did, Andrew, talk about this at the finance committee at great length. This was actually a question also that Bruce Greenspan asked about and went into with detail. Some of it is linked to a decision to postpone the hiring and the purchasing of technology. So we ended up buying technology later this year instead of last year. Some of it is because some of our techs moved online and we were able to purchase them at a lower, much lower cost because we got online subscriptions. And then also we had forecasted what we would be spending based on what we had spent the year before. The year before was a very significant purchasing year. So that year ended up being a slightly less expensive year. So it wasn't, Bruce was worried that we were cutting costs and expenses related to student learning, and that wasn't anything intentional, it was just strategic.
Yeah. Yeah, similar thrust here, so thank you.
Thank
you. I had a quick question.
Andrew, so thank you. I just wanted you to know that you're in good company with Bruce.
Sorry, Kennedy.
My question is regarding the 290 positive for the lease. So just wanted to understand, and why is the almost 290,000 recognized into the future? Like, is that because of modifications or future leasehold improvements? So exactly what is it that's not being recognized?
It has to do with how the lease is structured. Most schools have this opposite problem where they look way more negative now, but because of the way this lease is, it's structured the opposite way. So yeah, once it meets, I think in the halfway point of the lease in, I don't know, 15, how long is this lease? 35 years. So I don't know, at this point, like in 15 more years, it would go the other way where they would be more negative. But then I think we would just do a new lease.
So is the prepaid, so the portions of the rent is prepaid future leasehold improvements? Is that what it is?
Well, later in the lease, the annual lease payment is minimal. Like, I can't remember how much it is, like maybe like $100 a month. Well, that's how it ends up, like why it's.
Oh, I see. Okay. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to switch.
Like...
Was someone going to ask a question?
The cash and the accounting are mismatched, and we're effectively paying more cash now. And it'll be sorry, the expense will be lower later, but the cash will continue to be the same.
So later, the cash would be a lot less, but we recognize the same expense.
I see. Yep.
Okay. All right, I'm going to switch to this view. It's really important to the authorizer that we review the unaudited actuals, looking at the actual reports. So just to orient everybody, so I'm going to start with Lawndale. In this report, there are two columns. This is the one column is, you know, last year, what we're ending on, and then the budget the board already approved in June. So I just highlighted some main numbers, like right this operating loss, which you saw on the slide. Some other important numbers to flag. So there's this place they call net position. This is also known as the fund balance, which is the accumulation of all of the operating income since the school has been open. So for environmental, it's, I don't know, like 20 some years of operating incomes added together to get to this, you know, $6 million. So this is the place where they started last year after the audit happened. That's
can
what.
Can I ask you to zoom in a tiny bit more so that they can see just a tiny bit better on their screen?
Sure. I can't make it that much bigger.
That helps. Is that better?
Yeah.
We're good.
Should I go now or no? Not yet.
Go ahead. I just adjusted a little bit on the screen so people could see a little better. Thank you.
Okay. So I'll just scroll back up. So this is the unaudited actuals column, and this is the operating loss that we just talked about. Here in the net position, this is where they started the fiscal year, the audited number. So this number taken with the operating loss, that's how you get to this ending net position, which is just below the 6 million. And then what happens here is then they break down this ending net position and subtract out the balance of capital assets on the balance sheet. So this is anything that's capitalized plus the accumulated depreciation. They subtract out that number. to get this unrestricted net position. And I know this number is very important to the county as the authorizer. There are other, you know, and then this report continues. There's the assets, like, and then it has more detailed breakout of all the revenues, as well as the same buckets of expenses, which you all have in your packets. I'm going to go to middle school Gardena. So again, highlighted the operating loss we saw. Their ending net position for this fiscal year, where, sorry, their balance of capital assets. And then here I just put a, because I know this number is important. For this school, their unrestricted net position is 26%, which is a good solid number, especially for a school that's been open for, I don't know, I can't remember when they opened, 10 years, maybe it was more than that. So for Inglewood, the same highlighted numbers, and their unrestricted net position, theirs is at 31%. And the high school in Gardena, their net position, I mean, definitely they're only in their fourth year, is at 16%. And I know this was an important number, mainly because as a new school, I know the county wanted them to be above 5%. So this is great that they're above the 5%. Any questions on this before I go back to the PowerPoint to talk about this fiscal year?
Questions? I don't think
no.
there are any.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna skip over these state budget slides. So we talked about them in Finance Committee. But there is going to be a program next that will start next fiscal year where the school could collect additional ADA if they wanted to offer this program. There's going to be some budget cleanup. The governor hasn't signed it that I know of, but it just clarifies some language that was already approved in the state budget. This clarifies this how they're going to handle this learning recovery grant that was approved in the state budget 2 years ago. And what it's just saying is that you'll see this in more detail in the LCAP, which is revisited periodically throughout at the board meetings throughout the year, and something the board approves in June as well. But now it's going to have its own carved out section in the LCAP on how exactly this money is going to be spent and why it's spent in that way. Okay, so there were a bunch of changes for this fiscal year, and let's see, this column is what was approved in June, the operating losses, operating income, and then this is the updated version. So we'll start at Lawndale, hide this, at Lawndale, this first bar is just the net of the child nutrition program between reimbursements and increased expenses. This was just trued up to match the activity from last fiscal year. They had some extra special ed revenue, some small savings in books and supplies, and some increased expenses and services and other operating. The main ones are higher expenses for field trips and non-instructional consultants, but we did have some savings in instructional consultants. Depreciation, this is a good chunk of the increase to this higher operating loss. And then this grant, I know we talked about this in Finance Committee. It's because we're not sure if the state is going to honor it. So the outlook for this grant was decreased. Did I say that right, Fernandez?
I can chime in. So we had been told that we were getting a grant, the GSPP grant,
And then they retracted all the grants and said they want to consider them again. And they're going to tell us in a couple of weeks if we've gotten it or not. And so we had forecasted the first, initially the 189, which was the total amount. And since we were just forecasting 50% probability that we'll get it, we decided to, in our budget, only include 50% of the revenue. It's highly probable that we'll still get it and our outlook will be better, but we just decided to, for the sake of conservatism, not count the whole thing here. For this budget, we recognize that the operating income is, it's more of a deficit budget than we usually do at this site, but we do have strong reserves at that site. And the reason why the budget is as much of a deficit as it is because during COVID, we under-enrolled, and right now we're still feeling the negative impact of that in our current senior and junior year. Our freshman and sophomore years are fully enrolled, but our current junior and senior year are under-enrolled significantly. And so we don't want to cut staff to make for a flat budget because we know we're growing in the next 2 years, we're going to grow back up to our regular rate. So we're okay with a little bit of a deficit budget in the site right now because we know we're going to get to a sustainable level within a year. So, and also we expect this $89,000. Sorry, Dorothy, was that helpful?
No, that was really, really great. And I mean, a third of this loss is, or is at least depreciation, which is non-cash.
Is there a change though in depreciation relative to prior? Because this is a variance from budget. So
yeah, there were a bunch of items that were capitalized in this last fiscal year. I'd have to look up to see which one specifically, but it just has to be, it's related to like whatever was capitalized, how much it was and how many years are left on, if it was a building, like how many years are left on the lease, or if it was equipment, then it would have been only 5 years, but it probably had to do with the building. So it was related to, I think, cause we had like the, it's sitting as like CIP. It took more than 1 year for it to complete. So that's why it probably is off by a lot because we didn't have it figured in. It took a while, but I can look to see exactly which one caused this variance.
Could I just ask, going back for a second, what the GSPP grant is? What is it for? It's Golden State.
Yes. Money from the state to develop, it's a planning grant to develop a climate action pathway for our for both high schools. So to make a program that allows our students to earn college credit in our courses and courses that we develop that will lead towards or could go towards a career in a green career. It's an exciting opportunity. We're very excited to get the grant and to start the planning because it's really mission aligned and will result in more of our high school students walking out of high school with their high school diploma plus college credits in the green economy, all sustainability. We haven't figured it all out because of the planning grant, but we will share more once we get it.
Is it a partnership with like
El Camino? Yeah, with El Camino. Yes, exactly.
Shout out in their absence to Allison Diaz and Jen Benson for all the work they put into acquiring this grant. And Allison will also be working very much to support
her. 2 years?
Yeah, the planning grant, and then there's implementation funding that may or may not be. Well, there's a matching opportunity. So we are not entirely dependent on this money because we are going to pursue that program somehow.
Thank you.
So next we have the middle school Gardena. They had a big jump in state revenue. Most of this is just adding, because we the school decided how they wanted to use this Prop 28 arts and music money. So that is most of this amount. Child nutrition was just truing it up to how the school performed last year. Higher rates, there were higher rates for special ed and for the title funding, slight increase for depreciation. And then in services and other, we had some higher expenses in field trips and substitutes and a slight increase in professional development. And then this comp and benefits, it's mainly just some higher expenses in certificated salaries and also health and welfare, which gets us to just about break even. At Inglewood, here is that big ESSER amount that school will be spending this fiscal year, and they have to spend it actually by September 30th. So we had slight adjustments in state revenue, special ed, child nutrition. I mean, they didn't actually have crazy variances here. This increased expense in services and other is in just these main buckets of marketing, field trips, and utilities. But they have a significantly higher operating income compared to the approved budget. The high school, so we do have some savings in comp and benefits, mainly in the classified positions, and then some small variances here, but then some increased expenses, like, you know, just 8,000 in books and supplies and software and computers. And then in state revenue, we just decreased, I think, the facilities grant slightly, just to be conservative, and then higher expenses in services and other operating, and this is in field trips, professional development, and instructional consultants. But we did have savings in utilities and security, just based on the actual expenses last year for the facility. Those were updated to be more accurate this fiscal year. So they also look pretty high at this 369, but then on the next slide, just a reminder, their cash out is higher than what we're recognizing. So this is overstated by 376, which is a little bit more than this. So they're closer to break even. Looking at the cash, so everyone looks great, except, you know, I'm sure everyone at the high school, Gardena, it's lumpy, mainly because they're adding the 12th grade this year. Every single school that ever adds a grade always looks like this, because you're hiring the staff, you're buying all the supplies for these extra kids, but none of that funding arrives until October and January. So it does go slightly negative, but the school does have a line of credit that if we need to use, we will use. In order to look positive here, there is an assumption we use about $180,000. But what's also great is that if we do have to use it, we can pay it back in the spring. And that tells us that they're sustainable, mainly because it doesn't take them past the fiscal year to pay it back, especially after you're growing a grade.
What's the capacity on the line?
It's 600,000. Any other questions?
What's their for the high school? I'm trying to pull it up. What's the total expense? Like, if you measured this in days of cash, I'm just trying to pull it myself. But...
yeah. So, we normally have it down here. But their expenses, I mean, for the year, it's 8.7. But I guess on average, it's about 729 a month.
Okay.
Dorothy, if you want a minute to calculate this, we can do Geneva's presentation and come back to this one question. Answer other questions.
Sure. Yeah, I can just rerun it so I can see it.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Hi, Janina. I just noticed that both Mason and Janina are on Zoom, so just because of their recording attendance. Thank you.
Yeah, I apologize. I didn't get log on until later. My fault.
So before we move away from the finance committee finance presentation, are there any additional questions for Dorothy?
I have one question. And so if we look at the graph again, Dorothy, please.
Okay, this one?
Kennedy, is that the one that you wanted to look at?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. So I understand that for when you add a grade, it's definitely, as Dorothy explained, you're going to you know, go below the line. But the shape of the curve should be the same. And it looked like for me, most of them follow. But for the Lawndale, there's an increase at the very beginning of CAD. There's a spike. That two of the other schools don't have. Is that like a special grant in the very first month in August?
Let me see. I can pull it up.
Because it looked like two of the schools had that spike in August and increase, and the other two did not have that influx of cash, whatever that is.
Let me just answer in a minute because I have to run this before I can open the other Excel document.
Okay. Okay. No problem.
Thank you for your questions, and we'll come back to Dorothy for additional stuff. Jeremiah, have your question?
Yes. You want me over? You want me to move over there?
Wherever you like to stand or sit, whatever you like.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Oh, they can't see you.
Oh,
they won't be able to see
you. Yeah,
come with the right. Thank you. Hi, everyone. Good evening. My name is Dr. Matthews, and I am the principal at ECMS Inglewood. So I just wanted to share a few highlights. I was out last year. I was out about 5 months. I just had a baby boy. He is 11 months next week. And so there's a lot of great things that the staff was able to do, and I'm just very proud. And so we had an end of the year celebration, and we were able to highlight them, and I just wanted to bring it in front of you before we talk about what's happening with us this year. We are able to reclassify 25 English learners and multilingual learners, and that's about 37% of our ELD caseload, and that's probably the highest that we've seen, and it was something that we were very excited about. We also were able to work with and support over 80 students within our wellness department, so that's our counseling department as well as our our counseling department as well as our social work department. I think that it is indicative of what's happening with our students, having a lot more anxiety coming back from COVID, also building relationships with our social worker, having a full-time social worker coming back over the last 3 years. So we're really proud of that. Our chronic absentee rates is 16.3%, even though it still feels a little high than what we're used to. Compared to our surrounding districts, it's very low. It's about half of what they have. And our attendance rates was 94.3%, which we're making progress every year since the pandemic. And then we also continue to do our climate surveys, and our parents feel like our school is a safe environment. We tend to actively seek input in large decisions, and our students feel like there's an adult who wants them to do their best, and they have friends at school. So we have a lot of great things that are happening. But we want to also list academically what's happening at our school site. And so we brought it all the way back to 14-15. I mean, this is in math, and we were trying to figure out what would be the best approach to support our students. So you could see that we were at 20% in 14-15, and
barely below other schools that have similar demographics than our schools. And then if you look at what's happening over the past year, we have grew 17%, which is pretty huge. And so,
which line should we be looking
at? So we should be looking at the orange line. Thank you. So we should be looking, and I even have that in my notes. We should be looking at the orange line. The orange line is Inglewood. The dark green line is the state that has similar demographics as our school, as a Title I school. And the light green line is the state that has everyone in the state. And so we're excited that over the past 2 years that we've had 5% growth, and that we're constantly progressing to outpace the state benchmark despite whatever the demographics could be, and that we have ongoing efforts to continue to enhance and improve our curriculum. So we've taken a curriculum and then we've kind of put the ECS spin on it, and each year we're continuously enhancing it based on the needs of our students and our teachers. And the best part is that we're continuously fostering students' independence in problem solving. We want them to solve problems they've never seen before. That is our goal. And that we're seeing this more and more every day with us really embracing critical thinking in every classroom every day. And so if we look at our ELA, it's not the same story, but it's still a strong story. So if we look at the 16-17 year, when we were at 49%, the orange, we are not only outpacing schools with similar demographics, but we are right at or slightly above the state. And that's when we are implementing reading apprenticeship as a school site, just in Inglewood. We are trying to pilot something new. And then we started to realize that this was making great gains, so let's do it across the whole organization. And so we did it the following year. And then the pandemic hit. And so because of that, we're starting to see there's still some major gaps in our students' learning that we're still trying to support. But we are still really proud that we are at 49-45%. But we realize that this is something that we really need to target if we want to continue to see that growth. So we have some really targeted growth happening this, targeted support happening this year. And that's really where our emphasis is going to be. Next slide. And so with that, and also with the change of the budget, we've had to take away some roles from last year. We are trying to figure out what are we going to do a little differently with less, but still know that we need to do more. And so we are going to have weekly PDs that focus on reading apprenticeship, where we're going to model a practice and constantly reflect on certain strategies that we want to see in the classroom. And then we'll do classroom observation, give feedback. And what's different this year is that now we're going to do joint observations with our teachers, which they've asked for. They want to learn from each other. They really prefer that level of feedback. And so we're going to do joint observations with additional modeling and support. Then if we start seeing someone still needs additional support, we'll do the one-on-one intensive coaching, because that is some of the roles that had to be shifted was instructional coaching this year. And so we're hoping to see what this new pilot does for us. But right now we started it about 2 weeks, and we have a lot of positive feedback from our teachers. I actually just did one this morning, and the teacher was like, I know already what I'm going to do differently in my classroom because of that observation. So that was last year. She knows exactly who I'm referring to. So what's happening this school year? So I'm going to briefly highlight who our leadership team, what is happening since the first month of school, some school-wide goals, and then some upcoming dates. Next slide, please. So I just want to show who our leadership team is right now. And we wanted to use these type of pictures when we had our coffee with admin, because we want to humanize our leaders. That's my three boys, as you can see. So that's Julian, the new addition in the middle. He's 10 months, as Jackson and Jacob. And then that's the rest of our leadership team and just some of their hobbies or their family members. And we're the people with the bold green border, they're either new to our staff or new to their role. But as you can see, we have really good retention in our school leadership team. Let me have to go back in again because it's doing something interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So this is just briefly our student demographics. We have 360 students, 67 English learners, and 44 students with disabilities, and they're broken down by grade level. And then we have about 46 staff members. We are fully staffed with teachers, so we're really proud of that. And we have about 3 novice teachers, but we're still looking to hire a paraeducator. One of our paraeducators was able to move into a campus engineer role at another site, which we are really proud of, but now we're looking for someone to fill that role with one of our one-on-one students. But overall, we're really proud of our staffing going into the 6 weeks of school.
Can I pause you for 1 second? I just want to fully appreciate this slide for a moment.
This is not a slide that we've seen in the last 2 years. The fact that at this moment in September, we're fully employed with improvements in our credentialing at that site especially, which is very exciting, but also full enrollment. Full enrollment at the site is really exciting. And I don't know if you have one on attendance.
I was just going to talk about it out loud, but yes, we're really proud of what's happening with our attendance this year as well. And then we're also with the asterisks. Four of our ELD students have already reclassified this year using our NWA assessment. So we're just continuously making great growth. And we're really proud of what's happening on our site this year. So some additional highlights from the first just 4 weeks of school. So we had a student club fair, which we've had over 120 students sign up for different clubs. We've had from the Pride Club to Crochet Club to, I actually have a Marvel Run Club, something that I do with my sons. I brought to school and I have 25 students show up every Monday. So that's a lot of fun. We've already had a coffee with the leadership parent meeting. That was really great to talk about just not blocking parking lots and getting sixth grade parents excited to go camping because this is the first time they left their home. Their kids have left their home. So we're excited for that. We had a back to school night, which was well attended. We've had some very strong instructional practices, and the science lab, which is in the middle, we've paid more money this year towards science labs to be happening every month in every math science class. And so you see teachers in professional development already working through the lessons there, so then they can feel comfortable for doing it with their students. And we had Spirit Week for Attendance Awareness Month, and we're really proud of our attendance. As you saw, it was 94% last year, but we're between 96 and 98% this year. And so we're really proud, and our social work and wellness department is working really hard. We had a folklorical assembly already, and then we've also had staff bowling that happened last Friday. So this is all within the first month of school, so we're just, we're in a good place. Next slide, please. So what are some site priorities? To continue with positive student outcomes. So we're really focusing on inclusive education and trying to have most of the adults in the classroom with the students instead of less pull out, because we believe the students belong in the classroom. Protected PD topics and department time. Go in with talking about RA and talk also the science lab, really making sure that the dates that we have for those PDs don't move because the teachers ask for that and rank the highest on those professional development days, as well as deepening RA implementation, going back to critically thinking daily. Another part that we add though this year is increasing our sense of belonging for the adult culture. We felt that was important, just like the students had lower culture and climate coming back from the pandemic, staff had too. I mean, we can talk about it for ourselves as well. And so what can we do to continue, I say, watering our roots is what I'm saying on our campus. And so I'm asking for folks to function in compassion, collaboration, and critical thinking. And I think that if we function within those three practices that we really connect with our values that you read in the beginning, we can continue to increase that sense of belonging, continue to limit turnover of staff, and continue to increase the camaraderie that we have for our staff culture, which that is, if all of the staff indicators of our climate and culture survey, that is the one that we're seeing that needs to grow the most. So this is what I've shared is my commitment, is to have one-on-one staff meetings, one-on-one meetings with every staff member twice a year. I did it when I came back from maternity leave, and I've learned so much, and it connected me to the staff in a way that I've never seen before, and I want to continue that, and that's what was asked of me. To continue to highlight the bright spots and express appreciation, to create systems for staff to appreciate one another publicly, to reintroduce the Adult Climate and Culture Committee, to strengthen our community building by going back to our community framework that we used to use 5 years ago pre-pandemic, and to offer site-wide training on constructive criticism, managing disagreements, and conflict resolution. Actually, can you go back 1 minute? So before I highlight all the things that are coming up this school year that I would like to invite you to, I want to ask if you had any questions on the previous slide before we go into the calendar. I know that was a lot.
I have a question about collaboration. Could you explain a little bit more about
what I mean about
that?
Yes. So in the last couple of years, I realized that to avoid conflict, folks would rather work in silos. But when we do interviews, the biggest thing we ask is, how do you feel about collaborating? Because we're really big at collaborating as an organization. And so to encourage people to collaborate with one another to problem solve, You have team meetings, you have department meetings, and so it's working to really figure out how you can constructively collaborate with one another, especially because you share sets of students as well, versus just working in silo. So sharing the data, what works in your space, what doesn't work in your space, to work together for the betterment, not only of the students, but for your connectedness on the campus.
Thank you.
Have a quick question, please. Yes. With respects to one-on-ones,
yes.
What's the true purpose of the one-on-ones? And I think in a whole calendar year to touch people twice, it's probably not, is it difficult?
It's hard time-wise on the calendar, but I think they know I'm doing it and they expect it now. And all I ask is what's working, what's not working, and mm-hmm. what feedback do you have for me? Just three questions.
Okay.
And those three questions lends itself to so many things. I find out what's happening in people's personal lives. I find out what's sure. next in their lives. And I was like, oh, wow, did you know this opportunity lends itself to that school site? They didn't know. Connecting them to one another because they are not aware of what each other is going through because of the hustle and bustle or just how the schedule is created. Mm-hmm. So it's just a check-in.
But only because I don't know the whole dynamics of a daily schedule. But in my mind, twice is not enough.
Oh, and you're saying, I can understand.
You're saying it's complicated and tough, but I would say, because even with us in the world that I'm in, when we have 100,000 employees,
of course,
it's our mandate to try to touch every employee at least once a quarter.
Okay.
So if it's not too aggressive, try to maintain a better connectivity.
Okay.
If twice is good because of the dynamics of education, I'm fine with that, but just as a thought.
Well, I would also love to learn more.
Yeah.
I'd like to, pardon me, this is Mason, and I'd like to chime in on what Herb just said because he and I work in a similar field, and I believe the same thing. Like, when we think about the attrition rates that might face us as an organization and the ways that we can develop and promote people to their best selves, I believe in the one-on-one approach is great, especially if we're delegating the responsibilities and making sure the organization is strong. Organizations are made by people. So I'm with Herb. I'm like, I know it might be difficult and there's a lot of people to touch, but that one-on-one moment, especially with a leader like yourself, is crucial, inspiring. Those are the things that people go to into their careers for. And so we all hold a certain gravitas. And so that's just a soapbox, but I applaud what you're doing. But also, it's interesting to think about. Thank you, Herb, for saying that. So.
Nothing wrong with
No. I would love to learn because I think there may be a system that I'm not aware mm-hmm. that can make it more efficient, yet possible to increase. So I would definitely love to learn more.
And then when we talk about belonging, what are we doing to enhance the culture of belonging? You said that's some of the things that you're working on. Do you all have a template or a format or something that you're rolling out, or it's just something in discussions, or what's going on with that?
So that's a great question. I'm still seeking what that will be. I share this, but I'm also a part of now a LACO admin monthly meeting that I'm going to learn more about doing that. And then they're going to have like a template that we need to follow and a case study that we'll be working on. So
this is what I'm going to do for you. Yeah. Because belonging falls in my department.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And my job. We're rolling out a belonging playbook for leaders. Next week.
Okay.
Took us 7 months to build, and I was a leader of the team. So once we roll it out in my company, then I'm going to slide you a
yes,
little
please.
Packet on the
okay.
side
yes, please.
To help pattern some of the things you want to do. But it talks about one-on-one
okay.
in the playbook and why they're important. It talks about the attributes. You got to make people feel valued,
mm-hmm.
safe, and included. Mm-hmm. And if you lead with those three elements, you will create the culture of belonging that you want.
Hmm. Yes, please.
So I'll give you that. But it won't be till next week because
yes,
we don't
yes.
roll it out to our company. So
okay,
the last thing I want to do is
okay.
share something with
no,
you
of course,
that I haven't shared that. Across our board.
Could I bug you to share?
Yeah.
I would add to that like mattering is a component of belonging. Like
yes.
Mattering and making someone feel like they are significant because at the end of the day, we all sort of attached to whether or not we are feeling significant, mm-hmm. whether our lives
yeah.
matter.
right, the context of what we're doing. So,
but if you get
and
sure you're
the right. Author, I can send you the name of the author. You talked a lot about mattering.
Yes, please.
But, you know, even if you increase the number of times you have one-on-ones, they all don't have to look the same.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, one of them could simply be, like, around the water cooler time, yeah. Right? Like, where you're like, hey, we're going to spend 15, 20 minutes just talking about nothing. Like, just literally getting to know each other, what's going on in your life, what's happening, what's your stressors, what's your joys, you know, kind of thing, because that creates mattering, too. Yeah.
And if I may interject, this is Janina. Real quick, Mason. So we've been talking about the culture, you know, and, you know, as an administrator, I want to talk in terms of you as a leader. Geneva, you're coming back. You have other responsibilities outside of ECS. What is exciting for you? Is there anything that you need from our board? You know, I think it's important to also elevate the leadership.
Thank you. And I guess it goes back to the mattering that you just talked about. So thank you. I'm excited about how much my site leaders have grown to feel confident to lead in their spaces individually. There used to be a lot of knocking on my door about asking what's next versus now coming with two possible solutions. Mm-hmm. And so I see there's just a level of growth that's happened to the point that they're able to go to other campuses and be leaders. And so that brings me a lot of joy because I think that that has an impact on everyone. I think when it comes to the board, it's exactly the resources, that the ways to just make leaders better, stronger, and make this more sustainable. And so the information that you'd like to share just now is very helpful.
I'm going to share a link to a video by this author, Mercurio. I'll share it.
Thank you.
M-E-R-C-U-R-I-O. He talks about mattering.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'd like to send a appreciation before the end of the meeting right now, because I really appreciate the fact that we're talking about the idea of belonging as opposed to the ideas of thinking about DEI and the things that get pushed back upon because they are triggering acronyms or ideas that might be falsely understood. And so, Herb, I applaud what you're saying, because what we're saying is the one-on-ones, all of these things, organizational strength begins with individual interactions. And then that begats the other, begats that, like, you know, it's very, you know, Old Testament-y, to be frank. And I'm glad that we're thinking about this, because then it's not an initiative. It is a culture of belonging. And that's what I think what we're all saying. And so the applause for me are, I'm thankful to hear this in many different realms. And so I just wanted to say that. So, because this is a realm that finally, like, in all these meetings, I feel like very learned, and I'm learning things. But today, this is something that resonates with what I do daily. So thank you for making this a topic.
Thank you.
Can I add to that for a second? Because I think, like, thank you, Mason. So, we're in similar interested fields. Like, you're definitely doing the same thing Mason is, and I circle around but and a lot of times we hear people say, everything's suffering because we're online and we're not in person. But I know leaders who have made amazing progress in creating senses of belonging in the virtual space.
Sure, absolutely.
And so what Mason said is really important. It does come down to the people. And you can create belonging and mattering and significance and equity and inclusion virtually as well as in person. Mm-hmm. It all comes down to leadership at the end of the day. So
thank you.
Play an important role.
I really appreciate that.
You know what, we'll get you some, my friend. And then we just take what we have mm-hmm. and borrow and take what pieces you think are applicable to the education realm.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be much
exactly.
different with you, mm-hmm. but I know with the education around, we probably have to make some tweaks, but right. I think it'll be at least a template or a starting point.
And I would say And I would say that the principles apply across any discipline, because
Absolutely.
these are human principles, and we are all humans. And I believe that that's where the strength comes from. So I'm a big fan of doubling down on these type of initiatives. And that word I see on the screen, belonging, has almost like tears behind somewhere near by the bottom of my heart, but I don't know where that is.
Awesome. Yeah, it caught my attention too, Mason. So I'm glad you're speaking on it.
Thank you. I'd like to see what you're rolling out too.
Yeah.
Maybe this is another topic down the line.
Yeah. Oh.
I told Jeremiah, make sure you ping me with an email to remind me.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'll go to our
I'm even going to town tomorrow.
And I'll share what we're doing from a Mattel perspective as well, because different industries, same intent. And so that we'll see the cohesive network of what we're trying to do from a thought perspective. So yes, count on me for that, please, as well.
And then we can roll it out from this level
to
all the schools.
That'll be strong.
Yeah.
We all need it. Thank you.
And our last slide is come join us. So if you have the opportunity, we have our high school fair that's happening October 16th. So sometimes evenings work best. We have all of the local high schools come out and have table, and all of our eighth graders have to show up with their parents. We also have our Harvest Festival that we do every year. It's on a Saturday from 9 to 1, and we do different activities on campus. Our interdisciplinary benchmark performance task, I'm not sure if anyone was able to go. We did a Shark Tank once a year, and someone that was able to be a judge. We're also having an earthquake simulation with buildings that students are going to build. So if you know any engineers or architects that come in to talk to our students or also be judges. And then we also have our Earth Festival happening in April. And then we have Community Garden Days that happen the first Saturday of each month, if you just want to come out and get your hands a little dirty and get some fresh fruit or some fresh veggies. A lot of them is in season, and we tend to harvest them all by November.
So Jeremiah's going to send this to all of you. They have all these dates in front of you. I see some of you writing them down. We have a little bit of time, so I want to pause for 1 second. And do appreciations for Dr. Matthews because she's going to be leaving. And then we'll have time for 2 minutes to go pick up food if you want to eat. And then we'll come back together for the remainder of the agenda. So just to open up for appreciation.
I would like to appreciate, as a principal, this is my seventh year in front of the board now, and the level of engagement, the level of the conversations, and just the intent of this, of putting this presentation together, can be a little nerve-wracking, but to know that folks are like is willing to help with this good work is very inspiring, and I'm very grateful. And I know the fellow principals also feel the same. So thank you.
Well, great, you're having a great presentation. Look forward to helping you in any way I can.
Thank you.
I mean, I think Mason expressed appreciation that I would just double down on. Love what you're doing, and I love that you're back after having three kids, that you're still at it here at the school, like dedicated to the students. That's awesome.
You know, for any programs where you need engineers or people to judge or support competition, right around the corner from here? About 10,000 engineers.
Okay.
So I can ping out an email to one of our employee resource groups.
Oh yes, please.
To connect them with you, to have judges and stuff like that.
I mean,
that's what our campus is full of. Engineers right over there.
How far in advance do I need to ping you?
It has to be like maybe 2 months.
Okay, perfect.
They
no, that's
get it
good
on
enough.
There because they're engineers and
they have projects.
Well.
Yes. Okay. Perfect.
But
thank
part
you.
Of our ERG pillar is community outreach, so it's. A pillar that we focus them on that says you got to get out and do a volunteer service.
Perfect. Thank you.
And just to build on that, there's more of a coalition of folks who are in the South Bay, in and around the El Segundo area. A lot of us, Herb and I, are connected through other organizations doing what we call DEI work, but now I prefer to call cultural development and belonging. We're all on the same. We have the same charter. So.
Okay.
We would love to be able to, you know, set folks out on the mission as well. So, yeah.
Thank you. Teachers will be very grateful.
But when you send those emails out, you got to be specific.
No, I will.
That I need people for this.
No, I
yeah,
will.
Yeah, bro. Same thing. Same thing.
Project is and perfect. And I'll work with Fernanda, so definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I want to celebrate the way in which belonging impacts
mm-hmm.
And so the fact that you had like 99% attendance on today's results from school, 98%, like, is something that we didn't expect to see at this time, and it's pretty phenomenal and worthy of celebration. But also that slope that we have seen in school, that our students are learning and going and exceeding the state, that's a very significant thing for the demographic that our students do. This is a celebration of all the work that you've done, but also that you've done, because Danielle, I just want to say your instructional leadership and the fact that you.
That chart is something that you show us all the time, and it is so inspiring. So. Well, I just worked in five school districts, and it's always been a challenge to make sure that there's a real strong fabric of social relations and connection, because that is, it's a community. Every school is its own community, and if people are not connected to each other and they don't feel valued or revered even for their contributions, then the fabric starts to spread, starts to fall apart. And I just love this organization, and I appreciate so much what you're doing, because your enthusiasm and the details and the thoroughness of the organization. And with others, because it really is developing the capacity of everyone.
I just want to say what you may not know about Dr. Matthews is that she's a former school counselor, and so belonging is close to her heart. And she has trained in it formally when it comes to supporting students. And I think what one of her strengths of many, as you see, is bringing that knowledge of supporting students one-on-one and in small groups, and thinking about how does that apply to the adults that she works with. So I think that's really cool. And then the thing that she is pushing herself and we're doing together is tackling that trend that you saw in ELA. Like, how do we get back to having the kind of growth and gains in reading and writing that we saw pre-pandemic, and she's not afraid of tackling in a really proactive way.
And since I have one more question, I can help it. This last month in a cabinet meeting, we had an opportunity to do a case study of the students and try to figure out how to better meet the and Dr. Matthews said, how do we make sure that everyone at this campus knows that this child is their child, that this student is their child? I think that you model inclusion for students with needs. And I just want to celebrate and appreciate you, because I've seen you grow so much as a leader. I'm so grateful that you came to this meeting. But I want all of them to know how sincerely you hold all human beings as our child.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. 2 minutes to grab food or a drink if you want, and then we'll come back and we'll be right on time.
Kennedy and Andrew, I can answer your questions. Okay, so I'll just share. Okay, so sure. The date. The day's cash on hand, it's actually a hidden row on in the Excel. So this is here are the numbers.
Okay.
Great.
And then Kennedy, your question about this bump.
Yes.
So most of this is how much Lawndale owes. The district owes the school in prop tax.
Oh, that's the in lieu property tax?
Yeah, we have this backlog. But the assumption, because most of the time, all the other schools are right, like 1 month behind. So it's like, oh, we're going to get it next month. But the assumption, we just roll it forward because we're like, oh, we'll get it soon. But that's a lot of money. It's like $700,000.
Now, there is a calendar. I mean, by Ed Code, there's a monthly calendar when they're supposed to be sending. Are they not obeying? Are they not abiding by that?
We've been trying to work it out for a few years. So...
Interesting, because I had the same issue. So, you know, I had the same issue at one of the high schools where they were behind. They were trying the authorizer. We're trying to use this as their cash flow, right? And this was like one of the big East Side Unified in San Jose. And so, what I did, I spoke to this lady in charter Charter School Development Center, CSDC. What's her name? She was a CFO for another charter, big charter network. Anyway, she gave me all the ed code. I wrote her a letter, and it wasn't just me. She was doing it to all the other charters under her district, and cited. I cited the ed code and all that, and the calendar and the monthly apportionments. And within 3 days, I got a $1.2 million check. And also that so did the other, I don't know how big the checks were for the other charters, but basically I just highlighted, you know, we know that you're behind, and this is by ed code. There's no reason they need to be behind. And because that's not their money. So they're using our money to cash flow and then earn in, you know, what to cash flow their operation, which is not cool. So there is a way of, you know, it was a very gentle letter that I'd said, like, you know, this is what I know, by the way, should we just talk about this? And next thing I knew, I had the check in 3 days. So I don't know if maybe having kind of a gentle discussion and then sending them, you know, like I can send you the ed code and the, I mean, you know this, you probably know the monthly allocations.
Yeah, we have it. I'll ask Tracy if she wants something else.
Okay.
I know. Contact the district like multiple times a year about it, but it's
I mean there that one we have the law on our side, and so you know, but anyway, that I mean I can if she needs if she wants to talk about it, I'm more than happy. Like I said, I was successful in getting almost $1.2 million, so you know I can it's worth the conversation,
right?
Okay, all right. I mean, only if she wants to. Like I said, you guys have I guess you may be looking at it from the fact that you have a very strong reserve, so maybe you don't care about, you know, them cash flow using the money or being delayed.
I mean, we care.
Okay.
I know. Yeah. It's like political. Many years. It's a many years issue.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can help if she, you know, I can help have a conversation because we do have the law on our side. So, but I don't know politically, are there any other sensitive issues that we may want to walk gingerly? I don't, you know, Fernandez would know better. Okay, that's it. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And then I thought you had another, was there another gentleman that you were going to answer his question?
Yeah, Andrew, did you see, that was the first thing the row was hidden.
I did, yeah. I mean, I see the data. I guess the question then is, you know, the number's quite low. I don't know what the typical metric is here. Back in my days in DC, you know, you wanted to be at, I think we had like 60 or 75 as a minimum, and you wanted, and we were really striving to be at north of 100. And so just, you know, the question is, what's our, well, how does that compare to the other schools? I don't know if you have that easily available. Most of the others look fine, but.
Yeah.
Did you pull up the others?
No, it's high enough for to meet the covenant, like for those three schools that are in the group. But yeah, for sure, it's the lowest. I can hold on.
Thanks for interrupting your conversation and welcome it to continue beyond this phase, especially since Andrew's joining the is on the finance committee. It's definitely create a pathway to continue it. But we'll keep going with the agenda.
Okay. Thank you. So we are on consent items A through L. May I hear a motion from someone to approve the consent item?
I move we accept the consent items A through L. Or are we doing it individually?
No, that's right.
Okay.
Do that as a group. Thank you, Herb. Okay. Moved by a motion from Herb to approve. A second. Janina?
Oh, she's not there anymore. Okay. I also want to recognize Anthony Jaweed, our board member's on now.
Okay.
Hi, Anthony.
Anthony?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Zina?
Hi.
Denise?
Hi.
Hi for myself. Betsy? Kennedy?
Hi.
Mason?
Hi.
Andrew?
Is that me? Hi. If so.
Albert?
Hi.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Go to we're on action item. Approve 2024-25 budget for UCHSL, UCMSG.
Nothing more to add beyond the conversation that we had with Dorothy. But you've all seen them, and I welcome any questions anyone has.
Are there any questions about this action item? Someone move to approve?
I move to approve.
Denise, move. Thank you. A second?
Second, Zina.
Thank you, Zina. Okay, with a motion from Denise to approve and Zina seconded, I will do the roll call. Anthony.
Aye.
Herb.
Aye.
Janina.
I'm
sorry, Zina.
Aye.
Denise.
Aye.
Betsy, aye. Kennedy.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
Andrew?
Aye.
And Albert?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Upcoming dates and announcements. The next UCS board meeting is,
it's not listed in there because it was in the consent agenda.
Okay, great.
The new date is December 12th.
December 12th.
Yeah.
Thank you. So there's no November, date was changed.
Correct.
Okay, got it. Next ECS committee meetings. Did you want to say anything about that?
Nothing. We may not need to have a governance committee meeting. We'll let you know whether or not we do. And audit committee is what we'll be meeting.
Yep.
Okay.
Can I make the next announcement about an upcoming event?
Sure.
I'll pass these around. One of our campuses, UCMS, Ardina, and folks on Zoom will send you a digital copy
They're having an event they have twice a year called Leaders Like Me, and it is a speaker series, and we're inviting local leaders of color who make an impact in their communities and industry to share their stories with their with our students and the school community. I think, Mason, you may have been a guest speaker last year. And so EPMG is looking for speakers. If you are interested, you can let me know or the principal. And I think this QR code also helps you sign up. Or if you know other people in your network who might be interested, I have extra flyers here and we can get you digital copies.
Thank you.
I think we can sincerely appreciate it, Geneva. There isn't really much more to appreciate until we can, so we can go ahead and do the transition.
Okay. Transition to closed session at 6:22 p.m.
Do we
need
a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we move to closed session.
Okay, thank you, Herb. Made a motion. Is there a second?
Second?
No.
Yeah, thank you.
Any
signature? Uh-huh.
From board members?
For Relenko, for item. Okay, so we'll go ahead and rotate that around, but since we're moving to closed session, you can go ahead and go and just start it on Zena and hand it over.
We have Herb moved and Christina seconded. I'm going to ask you to vote on the transition to closed session. Anthony?
Aye.
Herb?
Aye.
Janina? I'm sorry, Zena?
Aye.
Denise?
Aye.
Jesse, aye. Kennedy?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Andrew?
Aye.
And Albert?
Aye.
I'm sorry if I'm speaking too loud for some people and not loudly enough for others, but I just want to make sure I'm okay. So we're.
All right, you're doing great.
Oh, thank you. We're going into closed session at 6:23. We are going to close the session at 7:19 p.m. And now we're going to move into open session.
Is there a different recording system that you?
No. Okay. Yes, this is Betsy reporting out. There was nothing to share regarding our closed session. And our closing items is just to adjourn the meeting. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Denise?
Second.
Herb, second. Anthony?
Aye.
Herb?
Aye.
Janina?
I'm
sorry. Keep doing that. Zena?
Aye.
Denise?
Aye.
I'm Betsy. Aye. Kennedy?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Andrew?
Aye.
Okay, and Albert had to leave. So that's everybody. Thank you. We're closing the meeting.
Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Have a good night. Sorry we went long.